of Acts, chapter 4. Read one verse. Acts, chapter 4, verse 12. Well, I ask a question this morning. How do you value your religion? Is it more valid to you than any other religion? Your faith, my faith, how valid is it? Acts 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm sure that we are aware of the culture war that's going on in our world, and including the United States of America. There's a culture war. And Christians are being challenged to even deny their faith and to accept all religions as valid and good. One's good as other. I shared with the group on Wednesday night a clipping that I clipped from the paper about a professor in the University of Central Florida. His name is Charles Nagy. Teaches a course in cross-cultural psychology. It was a semester. He had a group of students, and one of the students told some of the other members of the class, don't pay any attention to Professor Nagy because of his teaching. And this student considered his religion, which was a Christian faith, to be more valid than other religions. Whereupon, in the beginning of the new semester, Professor Nagy told his students, and I quote what he said. He said, "Students in my class who openly proclaim that Christianity is the most valid religion, as some of you did last class, portrayed precisely what religious bigotry is." So he says that those who proclaim or consider their Christian faith is more valid than anything else is committing what is called Christian or religious bigotry. Now, bigotry is a bigot is an intolerant person. He's narrow-minded. You see, our minds, if we are considered bigots, we are intolerable. We don't tolerate other religions. And if we are closed, our minds are closed and narrowed in on our own, and we don't believe that other religions are as valid as ours. And so he says, if you do that, you are intolerable, you are narrow-minded, and you shouldn't do it. Well, the thing about him, he was raised a Southern Baptist. and he was a professing Christian. But when he went to school, he went off to school and he said, I got to study in Islam. And now he says, I don't know. I'm questioning whether Muhammad is a true prophet or whether Jesus Christ is a true prophet. He said, I don't know now. So he has become an agnostic, which says you can't know God through your mind. You can't know God. You can't know because an agnostic believes there's nothing to be learned except through the material world, material things. So what you see is what you believe. And so here's a man that's confused because he went off to school and he began to question. So now he's an agnostic and doesn't know what to believe. I'm afraid that that kind of thing may happen to more than we'd like to think it happens to. Young people go to school and they find people like this, professors like this, and you begin to wonder, you know, like he did, I wonder if Christianity is the really most valid religion. And then he says, I'm trying to get my students to think for themselves and to think it through. Before you accept anything is more valid than anything else, think it through. And the same is true with Christianity. There was a woman, you've seen her in the news. Her name is Baronell Stutzman, who runs a little flower shop in a rural town of Washington State. She hired a man to work with her, for her. And she learned, I don't know if she knew it before she hired him, but she found out he was gay. But she kept him on the job. She let him work. Got along fine with him. Until one day, he came to her and he said, I'm going to get married. Me and my partner are going to get married. And we want you to do the flowers for our wedding. And she told him, she said, because of my Christian beliefs, I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. And I don't agree with two people of same sex marrying. So I have to refuse to do the flowers for your wedding. But she pointed out there are other florists that would be glad to accommodate them. And his name was Rod. He said, okay. He was all right with that. He understood, he said. But then the American Civil Liberties Union heard about it. And so they got with Rod and they brought a lawsuit against this lady for practicing her religious beliefs, which in this case was Christianity. So there's a lawsuit against her and she stands to lose everything she has if she loses. Because she believed that her Christianity was more valid than anything else, any other religion. You know, I think it's interesting that there are atheist churches popping up in larger cities in our nation. Atheist churches, now they call them that. You know, atheists don't believe in God, but they're organizing churches, and they gather, and they sing, and they speak. But the only thing missing is God. They don't believe in God. But it's interesting to me that they borrowed a word from the Bible to call themselves a church. Which tells me that these atheists may not be as dogmatic about their being against Christianity as they may appear, or against God. But anyway, there's a cultural revolution going on, a war going on in our nation. There are those who look upon all religions as okay. It doesn't make any difference what religion you profess to have. It's okay. I may have told you this. If I have, I can get by with it because I'm a little old, you know. But a few years ago, we was interim pastor up here at High Point. One of the members was going to have surgery on Sunday afternoon. And so Sue and I went up there. I believe it was Presbyterian Hospital. We were in the waiting room, and, you know, in most waiting rooms, they have a volunteer, you know, to help families, to give direction, and so forth. Well, in this volunteer was a little small man. And as we were sitting there, he began to ask us questions. Where were we from? And so on. And then when he learned that I was a Baptist minister, he said, "Do you watch Billy Graham?" I said, "Yeah, I watch Billy Graham." He said, "I do too." I said, "I like Billy Graham." He said, "I do too. I like to watch him." And so he began to ask more questions. And so I got where I couldn't hear him that well, so I got me a chair and moved over there to his desk side of him. And we sat there and talked. And I said, "I'm a Christian." And he says, "I'm a Hindu." And he says, "My religion is one that I'm using as a vehicle to try to get to God." He said, "That's our goal as Hindus, is to get to God, but we have to work so hard at it. We have to work hard at getting to God, and he says, I will never get to God because I'll never be a good enough Hindu." And I said, "Sir, let me tell you something about my faith. Let me tell you something about my Christian faith." I said, "You don't have to work hard to get to God. You can get to God through faith in Jesus Christ. The work has been done. Jesus did it on the cross. It's done. All you have to do is accept that by faith, and you can get to God. I know God today, and you can know him." But he insisted that the Hindu way to get to God was their way. And I don't know what happened to it. I trust that he kept watching Billy Graham, and that sometime or another, as Billy Graham would give the invitation, he would bow and accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. All religions, or any religion, is not good. Not more valid than the Christian faith. You may say, well, Bobby, why are you telling us all this? We're Christians, certainly. We're Christians. So was Professor Nagy, or professing Christian. Well, he turned out to be an atheist because he wasn't really grounded, he was just Christian by name. You know, you can do that. You can be Christian by name and not really be a Christian. So it behooves us. I'm telling you this because it behooves us to be grounded in our faith. We need to make no bones about it. As Christians, I'm not moving. I'm stationary upon my faith in Jesus Christ. No other foundation of man laid than that which is laid in Christ Jesus. So we need to be grounded so we can hold on to that. Hold on tightly to it. Because it is the most valid religion, the most valid faith. No other religion can offer what the Christian faith can offer. No other religion can offer eternal life. No other religion can offer sure hope like the Christian faith does. And that's what Peter is talking about here in his statement that he made. Notice what he says. He says, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no salvation in Buddha. There's no salvation in the Hindu religion, the Tao religion. There's no salvation in Muslim religion. There's no salvation in Allah. There's no other name other than Jesus Christ, whereby we must be saved. And Peter wasn't ashamed to tell that either. He and John going out of the temple to pray at hour of prayer. Crippled beggar by the side of the road begging for alms. Peter said, I don't have any. But he said, such as I have, give I to thee. And so he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And then he went around praising God, and Peter began to preach. He began to preach the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He didn't preach anything else. Preached Jesus to them. And then they arrested him and John, and then Peter preached again. The same thing, same message. He didn't alter it. And then he told them, the statement, there's salvation in no other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So we need to be grounded in that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Now we in America, especially Christians, I think have been very tolerant people. We know that there are other religions in our country. And many you and I have gone to school with people of other religions, other faiths. We've done that. And you work with them, probably. We've worked with them. And we've had fellowship with them. And we have not been bigots. We have been tolerant people. We have said, We respect your faith. We don't believe in your faith. We don't believe in your religion, but we respect it. And we, as Christians, will not try to force you to accept our faith. We can't do that. We won't do that. But what does the Muslim do? The Muslims says you will become a Muslim or we'll kill you. And that's what they're doing. Christians in many parts of the world are today afraid, and many are being killed, shot, beheaded, drowned, burned, dismembered. Does not the Muslims believe that their religion is more valid than any other, to the point that they would try to force us to convert to their way? Christians don't read about Christians doing that. That don't make the news. About Christians going to a Muslim or any other religious person and saying, you're going to convert to Christianity or I'm going to kill you. But we still believe that our faith is more valid than any other. If I didn't believe that, I couldn't preach it to you. If I didn't believe that, I'd just give up. Because I wouldn't know what to believe if I didn't believe that. That's where I stand in the Christian faith. So that's why it's so important that we as parents teach our children that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to hope and salvation. That's why we need to teach them that. And that's why they need to be in Sunday school and in other places where they can hear the word of God taught and become grounded in their faith, because one day they're going to get out there in the world. They're going to get out there, even in our public schools, they learn other things. And you get out there in the colleges, the universities, in the workplace, they're going to hear of other religions. They need to be grounded in their faith in Jesus Christ. You see, the Christian faith is a relationship. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. A relationship where we can walk with Him and talk with Him and know He's within us, with us, and within us. That's a relationship. And I don't know of any other religion that can claim they have a relationship with their God. One who comes and lives within. No. The Muslims, yeah, they pray 5 times a day, but they don't know Allah personally. They just pray to Him. But we pray every time we pray. We pray to the God that we know through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ today? You can know Him. He wants so much to enter into the heart and life of every person. That's why He came. That's why He came into the world to begin with. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why he came. And then nothing make him happier than us to accept him. If you're here today and you've never received him in your life, we're going to sing our hymn, give you an opportunity to do that. If you're here today, you feel the need of rededicating your life in a way that the Spirit of God is moving you, you come as we sing our hymn, number 290.